For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
In England, Bristol. Hello, everybody. Welcome. As promised, we have got Gerald Celente with us this evening. I have been watching him for years. He is the Houdini of trend forecasting. You may recall some of his catchphrases. When all else fails, they take you to war. We've got Keir Starmer trying to send our lads over to Ukraine so Zelensky, his coke dealers, can make even more bank and BlackRock can divide the country up and have higher rates of return. We're going to get to all that. And his other phrases, it's a golden year for gold. And I think gold, I looked just earlier, it's hovering around $3,000. So people who have followed the trend journal, and we've got the link in the description box if you want 10% off, have made decent profits if they have followed Gerald's advice to go long gold, and it's going higher and higher, and silver is doing something similar as well. But huge thank you for coming on, man.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, so there's so much happening in the world. You know, like I said, with Keir Starmer, Zelensky, we saw Zelensky get called on the carpet by Trump. I mean, what are you making of all of this? And how do you think it's going to pan out? Will there be a peace deal, or is it going to re-escalate?
You know, I've been at this for 45 years, and never before was one of our top trends for the new year called the wild card. It's a wild card. Nobody knows how this stuff's going to get played out. And there's the Trump card that's playing it. It's the Joker's wild. So let's go back to the Ukraine war. Here's the deal. Again, you go back to the Trends Journal. We said there's no way in the world when this began on February 24th, 2022, the war, that Ukraine's going to defeat Russia. This is really stupid. I mean, these are the Russians that, what, defeated the Germans in World War II after Operation Barbarossa, where they kill over 20-something million Russians, and they were the first ones to beat the Germans. Oh, these are the Russians when Napoleon left Poland with, what, 420,000 troops, and he came back with 10,000? Okay? How are you going to beat the Russians? You're not going to beat them. So what happened? Biden started pumping in all this money to keep this war going, well, hundreds of billions of dollars. If Trump was president, and again, we're political atheists. I don't support any of them, just to make this clear. We're trend forecasters. We only look at the facts. If Trump was in, this wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have gave all this money. So now here we are at this point. Now Trump is saying, okay, the Russians could take Crimea. And by the way, Russians didn't steal Crimea. They had a vote back, what, in 2014, I believe it was, where some 96, 97% of the people in Crimea voted to leave this thing. And again, make this very clear. This has been going on for what? Since Catherine the Great, this Ukrainian back and forth stuff. Once upon a time, there was a guy in America called George Washington. This was a cat that crossed the Delaware that actually fought. Not like these little fat boys that couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag, or they got big mouths and little peckers and they can't do anything, that play president. This is a real guy that fought. Read his farewell address. Don't become involved in any foreign entanglements. Basically, this crap's been going on for thousands of years, and we're not going to fix it. So going back to Trump, if he lives by that, there's not going to be the money coming into the UK, into Ukraine to keep this going, even though Starmer and Macron, the little Gazzon, and the other guy, clown guy from BlackRock, that's the chancellor in waiting now in Germany, are going to give him more money. Without the U.S. support, it's not going to keep going. So what's going to happen? I believe there's a possibility that Ukraine is going to do something to escalate this war, like bombing a nuclear power plant, Russian oil facilities, doing something a false flag, anything to get more support on this war. They're not going to back off. They're not going to back off. Remember, it's the neo-Nazis that are in charge over there. So, again, just to make this clear, this is your Trends Journal back in 2014. The United States overthrow the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych. All in detail. So people have no idea about how this thing started, where it's going, and what's next. So it's a wild card. It's a wild card.
So, Gerald, what do you think about Piers Morgan here saying that Russia behaving like the Nazis? Putin, he's going to take Ukraine, then he's going to take Poland. Ukraine is an independent, democratic country. Zelensky was elected by a landslide. What do you say to Piers Morgan?
I'd say, why would anybody listen to this little stupid piece of shit with a pair of balls probably smaller than a mothball and a pecker about that big? How can anybody be so stupid to suck up of the crap spewing out of this ballless little boy's mouth? He's nothing more than a prostitute. He's a media whore that gets paid to put out by his corporate pimps and his government whoremasters. Capisce? And again, I want to make this clear. You can look it up. I used to be on Oprah, The Today Show, Good Morning America, CNN, everybody all the time. Once you start disagreeing with the shit that they like to shove down people's throat to swallow, they don't want you on anymore. Look at all the people on the American media talking about peace. Find me one. Find me one. You're not allowed.
So Keir Starmer's talking about conscription and sending young British lads to the bloodbath to sacrifice themselves in Ukraine. What do you make of that?
If this wars continue the way they are, it's going to be the end of life on Earth. How moronic and stupid could the public be to listen to this crap about putting more money into the military? If it's war against Russia, it's going to be nuclear annihilation. Matter of fact, there's a place called Virginia Military Institute in America, a very top place. They brought me over there back in 2000. This is one of my books, Trends 2000, international bestseller, to speak about new millennium warfare. You got it? It's a whole different warfare. They're not fighting with bows and arrows anymore. Oh, all those aircraft carriers ain't worth nothing. It's a whole new world. The stupidity of putting money into the military-industrial complex. Again, when all else fails, they take you to war. Again, look at the little jerk off you got over there running now. That's going to be running Merck, the guy in Germany. Germany's in a recession. It's in a recession. The third largest country economically in the world. Europe's largest economy in a recession. France's economy, the UK's economy, they're crap. We're going to put more money into the military. We're going to fight. Hey, could you imagine Starmer fighting? Could you imagine a little boy fighting on my little Katso Macron? How could you be so stupid to swallow the shit coming out of the mouth of these clowns? How could you be so stupid? It will be the end of life on Earth. Oh, and now Trump bombs away over Yemen. Yeah. Why those dirty terrorists? Oh, why are they terrorists? Why are they bombing those ships? Yeah, why are they bombing the ships? To stop the genocide in Israel. Why, how dare you call it genocide? We could kill who we want. Hey, kill any Lebanese today? How many Syrians? All right. Now they're ramping up that war. They're ramping up the war against Iran. They're ramping up the war against Russia. You got maniacs in charge. What's your favorite war? You like World War II? No, I like World War I the best. I love the Peloponnesian War. Oh, the War of Roses was so lovely. Oh, what's your favorite crusade? I like the 8th better than the 12th. All right. You got crazy people running the show. They're maniacs. Oh, by the way, I was the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate at 26 years old. Oh, there's me picking up Ronald Reagan. I had the picture, put on a brunch for 16 of our board of directors 2 days before he's announcing against Gerald Ford. He's going to run in 1976. Oh, I've been with the Prince of Norway. I've been with that little clown major one time. Yep, you got over there. I know what the show looks like. It's a freak show. It's a freak show.
Starmer's comparing himself to Churchill. Do you think Keir Starmer has the charisma of Churchill?
Yeah, a little scumbag bastard that should rot in hell, that Churchill. The Churchill. Oh, we hate those Iranians. Oh, yeah, Churchill hated him too, didn't he? Him along with Kermit Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt's grandson, great-grandson, the MI6 and the CIA that overthrew Mossadegh, the president democratically elected in Iran in 1953, because the only newspaper that printed this in 2017 was the Financial Times. Winston Churchill, MI6, and Kermit Roosevelt, the CIA, they overthrew the government of Mossadegh, brought in the Shah, and created the Savak, the secret police. Yeah, that made the SS look good. And you know why? Why, that dirty Mossadegh? He said that oil did not belong to Anglo-Iranian Oil, better known today as BP, or Standard Oil, better known today as ExxonMobil. And that scumbag Churchill, that little warmongering shit that could... And again, another little slob that couldn't fight, but they love war. Yeah, we got to overthrow the government. It's right there for everybody to read how they overthrew the Iranian government and how they still teach us to hate the Iranians because they got rid of the dictator, the Shah. That Churchill...
So what are your thoughts on Netanyahu?
You mean Milikowski? The Ashkenazi? That was spelled with an N-A-Z-I at the end? That one? What do I think about a murderer? What are you kidding? It's disgusting. Oh, by the way, Trump is totally on the Zion. It's a nationalistic movement. Now, it's nothing to do with religion. All right, is that what the guy Herzl invented it, what, in 1890? And I'm tired of hearing this fairy tale. Oh, they're bullshitting this crap out. They got that little clown they brought in, the United States head of the United States ambassador to Israel, Huckle crap. God gave this land to Israel when he told Moses 3,500 years ago that this land belongs to the Jewish people. Hey, got some. What if I don't believe in this fairy tale that God told Abraham? Was God got lockjaw? I ain't talked to anybody else since. I got to believe this stuff? Hey, take it easy, man. What if I don't believe in your religion? Not telling you to believe in mine. I don't want to hear this fairy tale anymore. Oh, by the way, I launched the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice, and I have major rallies of peace. So my religion doesn't go along with your fairy tale. I mean, God told Abraham. Who are you talking to?
Well, if you say you want peace, you're just a Putin repeater. That's what they're saying here. You're just a communist. It's like McCarthyism all over again.
Anybody that wants to go fight and supports a war, pack up your stuff, put on your drag, go out there and fight, send your money, send your wife, your kids, your transgenders, go out there and fight or shut your mouth. Every one of you people and every one of you politicians that want war, that support it, go over there and fight or shut up. Got it? And again, I'm an American. I believe in George Washington. Read his farewell address. Don't love a nation. Don't hate a nation. Because if you do, you become a slave to them. And that's all we are. Plantation workers of Slavelandia.
Yeah, the days of Marcus Aurelius are well over. Look at, I mean, Keir Starmer, he looks like a worm. He's so expressionless.
I know.
Pure evil.
Yep.
So did God give America free shipping lanes and the Panama Canal?
You know, well, you mean the United States when they killed all those people and made their own canal? What the hell are you doing down there? Everybody should read the book, going back to that time, War's a Racket by Smedley Butler, the most decorated Marine in the history of America at the time. He goes on to say what was going on back then and how the United States was down in South America, going country after continent after continent. Terrible. Oh, and Trump sold himself as a peace candidate, right? How about a piece of crap? Hey, I want that Panama Canal. Hey, give me Greenland. Hey, Canada, change your name. Oh, hey, wait a minute. What's he doing now? Peace candidate? He's threatening the Yemens, the Houthis. You see the stuff he's writing? You see what he's doing with supporting the genocide? Well, another $4 billion of our money to go keep slaughtering innocent people? So he's two-faced. Maybe more than two. You know, I had lunch with his brother, by the way, back in 2017, his brother Robert. They had a restaurant across the river over here in Wissahick. And Trump was president back then. The brother goes on to tell me that when the father died, they left the family. He left the family over $500 million worth of real estate. All right. Trump, like all the rest of these little boys, they're nothing more than little spoiled daddy's boy. Oh, don't believe me? You want to go up to Canada. You had that little Trudeau. We don't know whose daddy was. They say Fidel, but we're not sure, baby Pierre. Oh, you got this little Cazzone that's now running for mayor in New York. He was the governor. My daddy was Mario Cuomo. You had another little jerk off. What's his name? Georgie Bush. With a brain smaller than a pea. Oh, my daddy was George Bush. My uncle was Prescott. It's one big club, all right? It's a crime syndicate that people call a government.
So, Gerald, we salute the work, the activism you're doing, you, Scott Ritter, etc., campaigning for peace. But some nights when you're contemplating human nature and corruption, does it not get you down to think that it's immutable? Human nature is corrupt, and there's always going to be these psychopaths rising to the top and just collateral damage. They don't give a shit. Halliburton, Cheney, Bush crime family, Clinton crime. It just seems to go round and round and round.
Yeah, it breaks my heart. To me, the only thing that I could see change it is the Renaissance. Again, the Renaissance followed the Black Plague. Europe destroyed itself with its filthy sanitation. But it couldn't happen without the Medicis. You need the dough to make it happen. Could you imagine if the billionaires gave us $1 billion for a peace movement? We'd have it tomorrow. Not a penny for peace. Not a penny for peace. And by the way, you talked about Clinton. This is a T-shirt that I had made up when he ran for president, just to show you the way I feel about things, back in 1992. Could you see that?
Yes, yes.
Beware Slick Willie. And if you go to Trends Journal, you could get these T-shirts. Could you see that?
Yeah.
That's who they are. These are low-life pieces of shit that are running our world. They're low-life pieces of shit telling you what to do. So I'm a different kind of guy. I'm a lucky guy, man. I'm a Napolitano, born in the Bronx. right after the war. You're free to be yourself. I get in a fight, my father, may rest in peace. You say, you little bastard, you think I'm telling you what I'm telling you because I want you to be like me? I want you to become yourself. That was the America I grew up in. This is truly a land of opportunity. They robbed it from us. One criminal after another. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I got a mind smaller than a pen. Right?
Viewers, wherever you are watching the world, whatever platform you're on, we have got Gerald Celente on. He's been forecasting trends for decades. He's nailed it with gold. And in the description box are links. We've got his YouTube channel. We've got his X. We've also got a 10% discount code on his Trends Journal. Rather than read the toilet paper of record, Wall Street Journal, which costs a fortune, Gerald's Trends Journal is a fraction of the price, and you get 10% off with the link in the description box. So what hope do we have? Give us some hope. How do we break free from these mass murdering freaks, Gerald?
People have to get in the best shape they can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said one of the founding fathers, Samuel Adams. Yeah, I'm irate. Don't tell me what to do. Who the hell are you to tell me what to do? And that has to be the attitude of the people. But you have to be in the best shape you can. And that's the way it could happen. And everybody do something positive in any way you can. You know, by the way, I want to make this clear, too. We're very concerned about the dot-com bust. We believe there's going to be a crash in the NASDAQ. And China, love it, hate it, want it. Again, we're political atheists. We look at things for the way they are. They're going to be taking over the AI world. With DeepSeek is just the beginning. Again, trends are born, they grow, they mature, reach old age, and die. And the AI trend has just been born in 2022. You don't invest all your money in the first invention of the automobile in 1886. And everybody overinvested in the first formulation of AI. And China's doing it a lot cheaper. And again, trend forecasters, what you do is you put the trends together. Again, Slick Willie brought China into the World Trade Organization. You make connections between different fields. So go back to 2000 before they got into the World Trade Organization. 10% of 18-year-olds in China went to college. Now, nearly 70%. They're all high-tech addicted. You got 1.4 billion people, all these young kids going to college to be AI addicted and high-tech addicted, compared to, what, 340-something million in America? So you go by the numbers. And then look how they want the H-1B visas to bring in cheap labor from China, India, and other countries into the United States. So you're putting this together, China's going to lead the world in AI. And AI, love it, hate it, it's the future. And it's the addiction of the future. Again, I say they got it wrong in the King James Bible when they said the meek shall inherit the earth. They misspelt it. The geeks have inherited the earth. Look at the freak show. Little Zuckerberg, Peachy. I mean, freaks in front of your eyes, Gates. I mean, that's where it's going. So we're looking at a dot-com bust. Gold prices continue. I've never seen gold. Here, this is my book, Trend Tracking. Far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine. I told you about what happened in Iran. That's how I became a trend forecaster. When they taught us to hate Iran, I started buying. I said gold and oil prices will go up, and I played the futures markets. I turned a $10,000 bet, $5,000 in each, almost $750,000 back in the late 70s. I lost a lot of the dough, you know, wild young guy. But that's how I became a trend forecaster. I started looking at things the way they are, not the way you want them to be. And all they do is teach you how to hate a country, like they're teaching everybody how to hate the Yemenis, the Houthis. Oh, the Houthis that the Saudis try to kill, since they invented the Saudi Empire, the kingdom. I love this word, kingdom. I'm a king. Hey, if you're Italian, you call them the mafia, all right? What's this king shit? Oh, we don't pee or poo. Look at our little costumes that we put on. All right, so they invented this thing in 1934. The first thing that the Saudis tried to do was to slaughter the Houthis, which bordered them, all right? And then going back to the Obama, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, let's go back to 2011, 12, around there, when they started the war, the Saudis tried to overthrow the Houthis. Oh, and the United States was supplying the intelligence and refueling the Saudi planes to go slaughter, what, about 500,000 Houthis. But people don't know anything about that. Oh, and that little boy, Anthony Blinken, was the undersecretary of the time, state, going over to Saudi Arabia. And then he became the secretary of state, a little clownly, a little jerk that gave us the Ukraine war and kept sending all the weapons of death to the Israel war. Again, it doesn't make a difference who's in office. It's a crime syndicate, just with different names.
How high do you think gold is going to go with this present rally where it's around 3K?
I would have never thought it would have raised this much this year so fast. Never again. I've been at this. My first buy gold, I think, was like about 183 something an ounce, $183 back in the 70s, 78. This thing could go through the roof. I'm going to tell you another quick story and why it could go anywhere. Facts, only the facts. I was a kid and, my father, may rest in peace, he said to me out of nowhere, I'm about 17 years old. He said, you know, back in 1933, he said, I was dating your mother. They got married in 1934. He said, I go over to your grandfather's house and he's packing up all his gold. He had a load of gold coins. I said to your grandfather, what are you packing those coins up for? He said, well, the president wants them. The president told us we have to return our gold. Franklin Roosevelt made the American people turn in all their gold in 1933. Remember, this is the Great Depression. When my father said, your grandfather started cursing at me in Italian when I told him not to turn it in. He turned in all the gold. The government bought the gold from We the People for about $20, I think, in 87 cents an ounce. I forget exactly how many cents, but it was about $20. A year later, 1934, they passed the Gold Reserve Act, and they raised the price of gold to $35 an ounce, 70% increase. They screwed the people out of the money, and they raised the price of gold when the government got it. Now let's go back. Where's gold going? Trump and Musk are putting out this BS. We're going into Fort Knox to see how much gold is in Fort Knox. Right? You hear him say that? Hey, yep. They already know how much gold is in there. It's a reality show. Oh, by the way, we own that trademark, presidential reality show, because that's what it is. So here's what they may do. They're going to say something like, we have more gold than anywhere, any other country in the world by 10 times. And we're raising the price of gold. They're raising the price of gold so they could pay off their $36 trillion debt that there's no way in the world it could pay off. They may do something like that.
Well, didn't Adam Smith say in The Wealth of Nations that all great accumulations of debt end in bankruptcy?
The real debt level is about $220 trillion when you put in Social Security and all the other payments they owe. There's no way in the world they can pay this off. They also may come up with a digital currency because, again, you got Trump got what? Over $100 million from the crypto club. They're going to invent anything. You know, as a trend forecaster, I always say nobody could predict the future. There are too many wild cards. And you get it wrong. I thought the markets would crash again in 2012. They didn't teach me about a thing called quantitative easing or zero interest rates in Economics 101, a graduate school. They'll make up anything. And I believe they're going to make up something with crypto, and they're going to go into, because again, it goes back. Everything's digitized. They'll know every penny you spent, where you spent it, what you spent it on. Go to China, put your hand out. Poop, you got your, how much money you just spent. You know, your name and everything else. They're going to do away with currency, from dirty cash to digital trash. But gold to us is the number one safe haven asset. And you can see it right in front of everybody's eyes. It could keep flying.
So we've had so many forecasters going back decades predicting the collapse of the dollar. I remember Doug Casey in the 1990s. Do you think it could unravel at some point because they keep propping it up, printing more money?
Yeah. Again, it's unraveling already. What is the dollar down? What, about 6% in the euro since it hit its high against Trump? Now the euro's up, the dollar's down. The tariffs are bringing it down. And again, when the dollar's weakening, the weaker the dollar goes, as I said, the higher gold prices go. And they're going to lower interest rates. Trump did it before, and he'll do it again. He did it when the markets crashed in 2018 when he was president. It was the worst December since the Great Depression. And in January 2019, Trump had Powell lower interest rates. Again, that great comedian, George Carlin, it's one big club and you ain't in it. Miss Faccia Brut, that ugly woman that used to be the U.S. Treasury Secretary. What was her name? Janet Yellen? Yeah, what was she before she became Treasury Secretary? Oh, she was formerly head of the Federal Reserve. All right. Trump will do what he wants with this. And he's going to do everything he can to prop up the economy because he's so heavily invested in it.
So does the present correction in U.S. equities go into bear market territory, or will Trump have interest rates reduced to send it back up again before we get a crash?
I think it's going to crash. He'll do it after it crashes, not before. Right now, you have the Nasdaq's in correction territory, and the S&P 500 is just a fraction away. It was in correction. Now it's just a little bit out of it. But we're looking more at a bear market. It's going to go down some over 20%. That's when they're going to do it. They're not going to do it now.
And then we've got India's economic growth around 8%, China 4-5%. Would you position yourself in Chinese, Indian foreign equities then, as opposed to US?
We don't give that kind of advice. So, and to us, that's not our specialty. Now, stock market, you know, what to invest in, what companies, et cetera. We look at the bigger picture of these things. We don't get involved in that. So, but we are saying there's going to be a dot-com bust. And with a dot-com bust, again, 80% of the NASDAQ was wiped out. 80%. But like you said, as I say, when all else fails, they take you to war. What happened? The war on terror. All right? Everybody forgot it.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, I was leveraged during the dot-com bubble. It didn't end up well for me. So, Rocky Mountain, who the F is the whole world in debt to? Good question.
The banksters. They own the world. Yeah, this is one of the covers of your Trends Journal back in 2011. Can you see that? Nothing's changed.
The temple scene.
Yep. Happy Easter. And 3 days later, man, he's on the cross. You don't mess with the banksters. You got it.
So you know, this question comes up, who controls the governments? Is it the banks? Is it the technology companies? What would you say?
The banks and the military-industrial complex. Those are the ones. And it's nothing more than that to us. You know, the tech comes in, you know, they play their role. But now the banksters are in control, always have been.
So what about Big Oil, Big Pharma?
Yeah, they're just part of the club.
All right, get your questions in, folks. I'm here with Gerald Salente. We've got another 20 or so minutes to go for the hour. And Tashelle wants to know your thoughts on the intersection of AI and crypto.
Again, everything's going digital. It's the digital future. You know, by the way, I don't carry a cell phone. I did work for the cellular telecommunications industry going back to the 1994. When they had boxes in the backs of trunks with aerials. And I've been studying the radio frequency radiation of these things since. And we write the articles in the Trends Journal every now and then when the data comes out. There's one in there now. They're deadly. The whole world has become AI. Again, I'm a guy, you know, New York City cat. Used to go to bars and hang out and have a good time. Now everybody's on their phone. People walk down the street, they're on their phone. Young kids addicted to death, addicted to death. The future is AI, and digital is just part of it. Everything's going in that direction. As I said, the geeks have inherited the earth.
Isn't crypto just a modern day tulip bulb mania? Because tulip bulbs are worth more than houses back in Europe hundreds of years ago.
It could very well be. Again, though, they're going to go crypto in digital currency. And when they all go digital currency, that's when they'll get rid of, I believe, the Bitcoins and the others, because they're not going to want any competition. So when the governments go CBDC, that's when they're going to do everything they can to wipe out the competition. They've done it before, and they will do it again.
All right, next question. Thoughts on Golden Globe, not the awards?
The Golden Globe Awards?
No, not the awards. Golden Globe? A few people have asked that. I don't even know what that means. All right, thoughts on XRP skyrocketing?
Again, it's a game. Like, look at the money that the crypto club put into Trump. And he's going to pay them off, by the way. And how much do you know if he's invested in what? Or his gang is invested in what? You don't know. So whatever they are invested in is going to fly high. They're in it for themselves.
Are you allowed to say what you're invested in?
I'll tell you my investments. I have Bitcoin. Bought it years ago. And I've been buying gold since I said 1978. And real estate. I'm a very lucky man. I have what nobody else in America has. I'm up here in Kingston, New York. It's 90 miles outside of New York City. It was the third Dutch settlement. The third. There are more pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings here than anywhere else in America. It was the first capital of New York State. Until the British burnt it down after the Battle of Saratoga. I own, it's the only place in America with pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings on each corner. One is a museum, the Person House, it's about 1681. The other one is the Academy, 1774, I own that one. I own the 1763 Dr. Jensen House and the 1750 Franz Rogan House. I bought these because the seeds of democracy were sown here. As I said, Kingston was the first capital. I went for jury duty, and the guy putting it on said, "You see that picture over my shoulder?" He said, "That's John Jay." John Jay was the first Supreme Court judge, and over 70% of America's Constitution, he said, comes from the Constitution that was written here. That's why I'm here. Because the seeds of democracy was sown here. And I launched Occupy Peace over a decade ago. So I put my money where my mouth is. And that's my America. So I have what the Gates don't have. Matter of fact, one of my tenants used to be Warren Buffett's son, Peter. He has the Novo Foundation. He rented, never gave me a penny for peace, by the way. And but anyway, so that's what I have. So real estate. But you got to know where you're buying and what you're buying. And now Kingston is a hot spot. People flood out of the New York City or up here The place is beautiful. The Hudson Valley is like nothing else. And I real estate, gold, and Bitcoin. That's my three biggest investments. And there's going to be a crash. And the time to buy is when the crash comes and it looks like things will never get better, is the way I look at it.
Buy when blood is running in the street, said Rothschild.
Yep.
All right. So Katz wants to know, are we being assaulted from all sides? PsyOps, social engineering, big pharma, financial crises, and Neuralink.
Yep. Big pharma. I love that term. Big. How about drug dealers? Big pharma. Oh, that's the other thing slimeball Bill Clinton did. They didn't allow drug ads on TV until 1997. He allowed them on. Why do you keep, what, like, they, this guy gets like $300,000-$600,000 an hour, Clinton, when he gives talks to these big farmers, Goldman Sachs. It's payoffs. He's a little boy of nobody from Arkansas. Now he's a what? A multi-millionaire like Obama. They get paid off. So anyway, they go back to the COVID war. Oh, all the Trump fans. Oh, today's what? The, 16th? Oh, March 13th? He called a state of emergency. Black Friday. Friday, March 13th. Lockdown America. Operation Warp Speed, gene therapy inoculation. First one ever injected into the human body. You don't believe it? How dare you not believe it? Stand 6 feet apart. The wind blows exactly in straight lines and 6 feet. Does it go up? Does it go down? Does it go around? Remember the stupid hair. And don't forget, when you jerk off, masturbate your hands.
So, in 1978, Hillary Clinton's initial 1,000 investment had generated 100,000 in cattle futures when she stopped trading after 10 months. How does that happen?
Again, as I'm trying to say, it's a crime syndicate. What's your favorite war? Look what happened when the panic of 08. The panic of 08, again, which we forecast in our Trends Journal. And again, you can get it. It's only, what, $2.50 a week when you put your link in there. Nothing. The Wall Street Journal's $5 a day. What did they do? Hey, I'm Jamie Dimon. Hey, I'm Wells Fargo. We had this thing called a subprime mortgage. You got no money, got no job. Don't worry about it. Sign over here. We'll bail you out. Yeah. Well, the Federal Reserve, according to the Levy Institute at Bard College, $29 trillion they pumped into the banking system to bail them out from the crisis they caused with the panic of 08. $29 trillion. You lost your house, you lost your job. Go to hell. You're a nobody. Again, the banksters, the big drug dealers, the military-industrial complex, and big tech run the world. In a country,
yeah, I remember.
Here in a country near you.
I remember when the housing crisis, Royal Bank of Scotland was almost out of business, and the shares went down to 5p. And there were some senior politicians loading up the truck because they knew the bailouts were coming. All right, so Harvey's saying, do you believe that the most important commodity in the next 30 years will be water?
It's hard to say. I don't think we're going to be here in the next 30 years if the way things are going. It's going to be nuclear annihilation. There's a great speech that people should consider listening to. John F. Kennedy. Graduating students at American University, 1963. It's all about peace. Tells us we shouldn't hate the Russians. Nobody suffered more during World War II than they did. He said, if we go to war against Russia, the Soviet Union, they called it back then. He said, life on Earth will be destroyed in 24 hours. And for generations. That was 1963. All right. We are on the verge of nuclear annihilation. How can anybody be not so angry and stand up and screaming and yelling when you're looking at what's going on in the UK and France and Germany and other countries in Europe increasing and NATO increasing their military spending? How could they not be outraged at this? Oh, I love it. Like Estonia and Latvia are uniting. What do you got, about 6 million people you're putting together to fight the Russians? What, are you kidding me? Of course we're kidding you. But we're in charge. So that's not about water. I'm telling you, it's going to be World War III.
Do you think now that he's toughened himself up with martial arts and he's got a bunker in Hawaii that Mark Zuckerberg will survive nuclear war?
Who the hell would want to live after nuclear war? If there's a nuclear war, I hope the damn thing falls directly on me so I could get out of here. I mean, life isn't even as much fun as it was since the COVID war. Now everything up here, 9 o'clock at night, everybody's dead. The whole world changed. You think I want to live after a nuclear war? You know, I don't know if it was Jesus, Muhammad, or Buddha, but I think one of them said, you better boogie before the lights go out, because tomorrow is iffy. There's no boogie. There's no jive. It's tight, man. It's tight. I mean, there's no, all the high spirit is so low.
Yeah, I remember the reading the book Hiroshima, the people's eyeballs melting out and people just gone in the blink of an eye.
Yep.
So you've got a question from Blue Moon. What do you think silver will hit an ounce?
Silver could rocket. You know, silver's way underpriced right now. And again, silver's used in everything from, you know, high tech to heavy industry. But here's the difference. Your computer breaks, your cell phone goes dead. You throw it away. Different with gold, you stockpile it. So they're throwing out all the silver. And as we go more and more into the AI world, your silver is used in chips and everything else. It's solar, on and on and on. So to me, silver, it's a bullish bet. And again, I'll just to make it clear, I bought silver back, I think like it was 2011, when it was like almost $40 an ounce. So yeah, it could go up way higher.
So even if there's an economic slump, you're saying yep. that it's still a niche metal that people are going to have to use it and it's going to drive it up.
People are going to go for safe haven assets. When the dot-com bust happens, gold prices are going to skyrocket. And silver will be right behind it.
All right, so next question is from OG. Get your questions in, folks. We've got about 10 minutes left with Gerald Salente. All these links are in the description box. If you want to follow up after this video, you can stalk him on X. So, Gerald, are the banksters really going to allow the peasants to continue buying crypto and becoming very wealthy? Or will they ban the peasants from owning crypto in the near future?
The banksters want to make as much money as they can. They play in the same game. And it's how they play the game. When they stop playing the game, it'll go dead. But right now they're playing the game. And again, the Trump gang is into it too. And again, look at all the money and the crypto people that he has behind him. Again, it's going to be a time. Is there saying when it goes CBDC, that's going to be the end as we see it in the crypto market. As one of the gentlemen before mentioned something, I forgot the exact wording that he used. Yeah, it's going to bust like that. You know, it's a made up thing. It's made up. Gold is real. It's solid.
So if Trump can't broker peace with Ukraine and Russia and things escalate with Iran, etc., do you think his honeymoon period will run out and we're going to go into a darker period?
There's no honeymoon period at all. I've never seen anything like this in my life with a new president. Every day, it's another wild story. There's no honeymoon at all. And before, by the way, I talked to you about John F. Kennedy, the assassination. I have a photo here of me and John Connally. John Connally was the governor of Texas. He sat in front of Kennedy and took the bullet in the back. Anybody could look it up. And you see his wife, Nellie, throwing himself on top of him as he goes flying forward. He wanted to meet me back in 1992 when I wrote the book Trend Tracking in 89, and I had forecast a new third party in someone like Ross Perot. As remember, this is the guy that took the bullet in the back sitting in front of Kennedy. Almost died. As we're going back into the Anatel Hotel, he said to me, I read your book, Gerald, a fine piece of work, and I know your heart's in the right place. But you don't have a clue what's going on, and neither do the American people. Because if they did, there'd be a revolution in this country. This isn't only the former John Connally, who was the governor of Texas, a Democrat. He was the Republican Treasury Secretary under Richard Nixon that took us off the gold standard. Okay? It's anything goes. They'll make up, do anything they want, any way they can. As I said, as he said to me, if the American people knew what was going on in this country, there'd be a revolution. And now it's 1,000 times worse than back then.
So
because here, I want to make this clear. When I say 1,000 times worse, when I was a young man, they had things called grocery stores, hardware stores, stationery stores, drug stores, shoe stores, mom and pop stores. We the people had our own businesses. Not anymore. Not anymore. We did away with all those antitrust laws. Now we got the chain zone everything. You got it? There are no stores anymore, hardly. The chain zone everything. And that's what it's become. And that's what Connally was talking about. Again, off with their heads. It happened before. I wonder why. And it'll happen again if it keeps going in this direction. There were no private equity groups. There were no hedge funds. There were no venture capitalists. Again, the clown they got, the chancellor in chief, a former BlackRock guy in Germany. Three companies, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, own 88% of the S&P 500. What more proof do you need?
Wow. So Bailey wants to know whether you are from Hell's Kitchen and your thoughts on Henry Hill.
Yeah, I'm from the Bronx, Allerton Avenue and Boston Post Road. Right across the street from the White Castle hamburgers, 12 cents a piece.
Mick wants to know your thoughts on the future of BRICS.
Oh, I see BRICS being the future. They're tired of the United States economic and geopolitical hegemony. Again, it's only a country of 340 something million people. And they've had enough. And there's going to be, and again, if the BRICS had a gold standard, that will shoot the prices up as well. And by the way, look at all the gold that Iran has been buying over the years. Planning on this. No, I think the BRICS are the future. Absolutely. They've had enough. Again, you're the Brit. What killed the British Empire? Well, the sun never sets on the British Empire. We have wars everywhere. Then you had World War I, huh? Oh, that really, things were great after that. Oh, yeah, the pound died, and that's when the dollar came in because of all the wars. United States became the country we fought against, all our wars. And now the dollar's dying. When the dollar dies, the BRICS are going to boom. They've had enough. They've had enough. Again, you go by the numbers. You got what? You got. It's going to be Asia. It's going to be South America. It's going to be Africa. They're against a United States hegemony. So BRICS are the future.
It seems like there's a 100-year world war cycle where the dominant power overreaches and the next biggest countries gang up and put that country in check. Going back to Napoleon, Hitler, the Spanish.
Yeah. So, by the way, we had forecast that the 20th century, of course, was the American century, but the 21st century would be the Chinese century, because the business of China, you know, Belt and Road Initiative on, is business. The business of America is war. That changed. Again, that's why I say nobody could predict the future. They dealt a wild card. January 2020, the COVID war breaks out in China on Chinese Lunar New Year, the year they're at. They locked down the country, 3 years of zero COVID policy. They destroyed the lives and livelihoods of hundreds of millions. It hasn't come back in any country. Again, going back to a crash that we're seeing, nobody's talking about it. Your office building bust. Your office vacancy rate, vacant. Ain't nobody there. 10 largest cities in America, 20% vacancy rate. Vacant. Nobody there. The landlords, how are you going to pay your loans? They're not. You got some $2 to $4 trillion of commercial real estate loans coming due. They're going to be defaulting on these. The banks don't have the money to cover it, because when the COVID war broke out and they brought interest rates down to zero and pumped in all this cheap money and people put their money in the banks, they bought treasuries when interest rates are at zero. So the banks don't have the money to cover this. Go back to 2023. Three banks failed in America. Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic, and Signature. Markets crashed, gold prices spiked. Three banks. Now you're going to see 30, 40, maybe 100 banks start to fail. No one's talking about this. No one. And this is a fact. There was a building on 50th Street. You can look this up. New York City. Sports Illustrated used to be there, right in the middle of the block. In 2006, it sold for over $300 million. In 2023, it went up for auction. Sold for $8.5 million. The buildings that they built in the last 50 years are non-convertible to living spaces. You got no windows on this side, no windows on that side, no windows on the back. It's just one big empty space. You're going to see a failure like we've never seen before. So that's why we're bullish on gold and negative on the equities.
We've got just under 5 minutes left with Gerald Spilenty, folks. Get your final questions in. Ziva wants to know, do you think the American people of today have a revolution in them, or are they all woke computer nerds who couldn't fight their ways out of paper bags?
Nah, the fight's gone. And I mean, you know, you look what it looks like. You know, there's a picture, and this, by the way, this is another one of my books. Of everything I've written, is my favorite. What Zizi gave Honey Boy. Zizi is the Neapolitan dialect for auntie. And Zia means aunt. Zizi's your auntie. And I have a photograph in here of my parents' wedding, 1934. And you look at the dignity of these people. The Bezos, the Buffets, the Gates. You probably can't see it, but you know, you can just see how nice they look. Yeah. Their father worked in a fish store. They worked in factories. They were laborers. The way the people were dressed. The Bezos, the Buffets, the Gates, the Musk couldn't come close to what these people look like. That used to be the American spirit. And now it's a pig show. If people dress like shit. Guys my age wearing baseball caps backwards. Dirty jeans. Nobody dresses anymore. You got to bring back the style. As I said, you need a renaissance. You have to bring back the spirit. Think about it. The Great Depression. Swing time. Happy days are here again. The sunny side of the street. You look at the style. All gone. We got to bring back that style. That's the way I see it.
I love a nice three-piece suit with a waistcoat. So Harvey wants to know, whatever happened to the Monopolies and Mergers Commission?
The what? There's nothing there. I mean, again, you know, Again, people again ask, what can we do? We got to bring back the spirit. And again, to me, as I said, the only thing I could see changing it is a renaissance. That's it. You bring back the spirit and joy. You know, again, I used to be the number two guy writing a major trade association. And after our trade show, we'd put on an event for the people that exhibited. I took over the Superdome and put one on for Dionne Warwick. Took over the Atlanta Convention Center after the show and put one on for Ella Fitzgerald. And who said to my former wife at the time, "You look like my goddaughter Carmen." Ella Fitzgerald. And now I got to hear about Taylor Swift. What are you kidding me? You joking or what? How about Beyonce? You know, get that lad. What are you? Look at it. Look what America used to be. Music was our greatest export. They used to call Louis Armstrong the ambassador of goodwill during the Cold War. Travel all over the world. And that was the spirit that we used to have. And now it's one bad rap from the top to the bottom. So to me, a renaissance, it's the only way I see it happening. And you can't do it without the Medicis. You need the billions to do it, or else you get nowhere.
We've got one final quick question for you before we finish from Cammy. Is that a Monet behind you?
No, that's a Eugene Grigan. He's a great guy. By the way, if you came to my place, I had a great French girlfriend, Marie-Pierre Astier. Her brother, by the way, was the left shoulder of Jacques Chirac and Mitterrand. And my close combat teacher, may he rest in peace, John Perkins, used to go to Palisade and work out with these guys. Marie-Pierre, who's a great artist, and I have a lot of her artwork, used to say to me, "Art is the way of finding the true meaning of the human spirit." And I believe it 1,000%. If you see what I have over here, you wouldn't believe it. I have art in every aspect where you turn. I write about all the shit going on in the world, so I surround myself with beauty as an antidote to the work that I have to do. I try to get to the highest level I can in the best way I can. And by the way, the first book I worked on back in the 1980s when nobody talked about it was Natural Healing. And I have an honorary doctorate from the National University of Health Sciences for the work I've done in complementary integrative medicine. So I try to combine it all. And again, it's the beauty of where I live and the music and what I listen to and everything else that keeps my spirit high. And the higher I keep my spirit, the better I can do my work. And I, again, to make this 1,000,000% clear, I'm only me because of where I came from. How blessed that I have the aunts and uncles and parents that I grew up with that were so kind and loving. And again, it's right after World War II when the spirit's at the height. And that's the America that I love. And that's why I launched Occupy Peace. And that's why I own the buildings that I own, to bring back that spirit of America. And again, as a Napolitano, we're very passionate people. You know, we cry when our heart's broken. And we slit your throat if you try to screw with us. There's nothing in the middle. But I'm blessed. I'm so blessed. I thank them every day. Every day. I grind my espresso by hand and thank them with a little anisette in it for giving me everything they gave me. And that's the America that I love.
And I thank you for coming on. And what a great positive note to finish on. And viewers, we've got a 10% discount on Gerald's Trends Journal, link in description box. Why should people get the Trends Journal instead of the Wall Street Journal?
Well, first of all, I showed you my books. Nobody teaches trend forecasting. Nobody. Go to the new year. Every new year, here's what happened last year. Yeah, what's going to happen next year? Oh, we don't know. They don't teach it at Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Oxford, Cambridge. Nobody teaches trend forecasting. So, for example, the Ukraine war, the Israel war. We go to Haaretz, we subscribe. Israeli, we go to Jerusalem Post, we go to Times of Israel. Oh, we go to IRNA, Press TV, Tehran Times, Al Jazeera, Arab News. We cover the world. And we say, this is what they're saying. This is our analysis of what they're reporting. And this is where we see it going. So we give people the entrepreneur opportunities. We don't tell you what to do. Think for yourself. But here's where we see it going. So we give them history before it happens so they could prepare, prevail, and prosper in these times ahead. And by the way, every Monday and Tuesday when I'm doing the editing, I ask my aunts and uncles and parents and all the spirits of the past to help me make the Trends Journal the best it could possibly be so we could give the people the best that we could have. And the team I have, they're on the same page. If anybody could show us a magazine in the world that comes close to it, let's see it.
Appreciate you coming on, my friend. I'm going to close the show and let you get back to your research and hope we can chat soon. Take care.
And thank you. And thank you for all that you do. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
Cheerio and toodaloo. Thank you. All right. Brilliant guest, folks. And like I said, all of Gerald's links are in the description box below this video. So please go down and support his work. You can follow him on X. And you can subscribe to the Trends Journal. And for the minuscule price, if you're putting money in gold, silver, you can make thousands. But this is not an investment recommendation. I'm not a licensed stockbroker anymore. And next up, we have got a story of a gentleman who spent 45 years in UK prison, John Hilton. He was born during the war. His entire house was bombed. He lost his family. It's a horror story. As a kid, he's going around the streets, gets tortured in the prison as a kid, loses fingers, and he goes on to unalive some people and serve 45 years. And he's still alive now, and he's in his 90s. In his 90s. And then tomorrow, we have got Bob Marley's daughter, a strange daughter, coming on, speaking for the first time, telling her story, talking about what Diddy told her about his soul or absence thereof. She's going to be talking about SRA, tunnels, and helping people get out of SRA. Then we've got Lionel of Lionel Media coming on Wednesday before our Grooming Gang Survivor Part 3, Kate. She's going to be talking about the unaliving of Grooming Gang girls. So we've got hours and hours of content coming up every night of the week, folks. Ron's got all of his daily shows. And stay tuned. This video is going to take you over to John Hilton Part 2, 45 years in UK prison. And it's a hell of a story. So hope to see some of you in the chat over there. Take care. Much love wherever you are in the world.